The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to Part of the Answer, the show that gives you a peek into the minds of some of Chicagoland's best and brightest business, community, and political leaders. You'll hear the success stories behind their organizations and hear their vision for impacting Chicagoland and Illinois. No sound bites, no spin, just an authentic conversation about how they're making a difference in their community through their organization. Now, here's your host, Dan Ehrman.
Good afternoon here on AM 560. I'm Dan Ehrman, joined by an old friend, Pastor Chris Butler, pastor of Chicago Embassy Church. Welcome back to AM 560.
Thank you so much, Dan, for having me. And I will just say that old is describing our friendship, not me personally.
Well, I have been young, so. but Chris, we haven't only talked about church and things like that. You also have worked extensively in politics. And in fact, you were in politics before you were a pastor. And worked as a community organizer. You recently were a candidate for the first congressional district, and you ran one of the issues you ran on was kind of a pro-life agenda, but you were running as a Democrat.
Yes.
And that is antithetical to what you would expect in the political arena of today. And you're passionate around life issues. And so, you know, that's something that's informed your work. You also serve with a group called the AND Campaign, mm-hmm. where it's you're really looking to balance out both like biblical justice, but also righteousness, and applying that from just the church and the politics. Toward that end, you partner with the founder of the AND Campaign, attorney Justin Gibney, and you serve with him on the Church Politics podcast.
Yes.
That drops most weeks. And mm-hmm. You've written a book. You're extensively involved in all this. And so last January, you were one of the speakers at the Walk for Life rally in Chicago, and you really have thought deeply about the life issue. And that's something that we talk about here on AM 560 pretty frequently. We're passionate about life and, mm-hmm. and seeing that flourishing. But you come at this as kind of with this legacy of you're a black pastor in Chicago, and you talked recently with Justin about this idea of the black church having a vernacular around life that it kind of cuts against the grain of politics a little bit. And I was like, I want to know more about that. And I was like, I think AM 560 listeners who are so passionate about life to hear from a black church leader on some of this legacy and issue and unpacking that. And, mm-hmm. and so, I mean, that's a giant question to throw at you, but to set the stage, that's where we're at.
Yeah. I think the, what I was talking about on the podcast was this lexicon, this way of talking about civics and politics in a way that tries to faithfully maintain that commitment to biblical justice and how that plays out in society, as well as biblical righteousness and moral order and how that plays out in society. And I appealed to that legacy and that language, because I think it's very needful in our current moment, in which so many people are trying to pit the two against each other as if, moral order is somehow, opposed necessarily, to, sort of the aims of justice and how justice plays out in the society. And it's really not. And we do have, in the historical black church, especially, a great number of thinkers and writers and preachers and leaders who have for generations had to maintain those two as they pursued justice in society, but still taught and discipled and preached righteousness from their pulpits. And so we have to recapture, I think, that language of being able to talk about these two things at the same time and in unison with each other, not in opposition with each other. And that hits very much on the life issue, because I think, you know, I can't speak for everybody, but you don't have to speak for, like, the, you know, the Church of God in Christ. That's the largest black denomination in the United States, and we don't have to speak for them. They speak for themselves on the issue of life as a very pro-life organization, but also very, you know, steeped in justice and issues of justice and working on issues of justice and looking at, if, I think if we study and think about, you know, because I'm not an academic, so I don't want to say that, you know, that we want to study it. But if we reflect on how we speak to each other about the issue of abortion, it within our own families and churches and communities, it might be instructive for how we can build a conversation around life, especially in a place like Illinois, post Roe, where, I mean, if we are going to win this, it's going to be at the state level. And there are a lot of barriers at the state level right now. And I think in order to get across some of those barriers, we got to learn how to talk to people who do identify as Democrats, who may not be as deeply connected to sort of, you know, the kind of traditional institutional pro-life movement, if you will, but are very much pro-life in their culture, pro-life in their theology, pro-life in their families and their communities.
If you're just joining us, you're hearing from Pastor Chris Butler, Chicago Embassy Church in two locations in roughly the south side of Chicago. Mm-hmm. And this is part of The Answer on AM 560. I'm Dan Ehrman, and sitting down with Pastor Butler and, you know, looking at this idea of, you know, a lexicon for life within the black church. And one of the challenges being a political disconnect where it's seen as a conservative issue and, you know, it becomes, you know, pro-choice on a Democrat ticket. Mm-hmm. And yet so much of the black community is heavily churched, heavily, you know, informed by the Bible in the culture, in life. And you have these values. So backing up a little bit, where do you see conservatives kind of putting their foot in a little bit in mm-hmm. terms of some of the language that is traditionally used? Where are some of the problems, if you will?
Yeah, so I think, you know, one of the places, or at least the place where I start with the biggest commonality, is just that basic fundamental truth of where life begins, right? And we talk about that, like, in the pro-life movement, where life begins. I think in the church, especially in the black church, is more about what's in the belly. I mean, for a long, long time, just understood that when a woman gets pregnant, the meaning of being pregnant is that you have a baby in your tummy, right? And so, you know, when we delve into that fundamental issue, there's a commonality, right? But once you get beyond that point of commonality, you start to think about all of the challenges that come along with having a baby, right? Having a baby in the womb, having a baby outside the womb. And I think in churches, especially churches where you've done ministry in economically challenged places, even, you know, the married couple who has a baby on the way is faced simultaneously with the tremendous joy of, you know, being pregnant, having a baby, becoming parents for the first time or for the next time. But right alongside that is the real serious consideration of the great many challenges and stresses that are going to come along with that. And I don't think that is unique to black people or black church spaces, but it is more of a part of the conversation. And that's a connection with people who – are, you know, who consider themselves pro-choice. And I think if we had a way just to offer up that we, like, we see that, we get that, we understand that, what those pressures are going to be, that's a place where there's opportunity to build, where I think right now there are some gaps. You know, you also have gaps around what abortion is and where it comes from, right? I think that whenever we start having, language that shames and laws that criminalize mothers who are abortion minded, I think again, we come to a place of a gap. And this is something I think that we've had to wrestle with in Black spaces again, and unique ways, you know, cause even being, pro-life, right. You know, so not wanting to destroy, life in the womb, you know, back in the day, you didn't have an abortion, you know, you just got sent down south. But in that experience, there's a lot to unpack out of that, right? So number one, you didn't necessarily get sent down south because down south was cheaper than an abortion. It probably would not have been, right? But it was more about the sanctity of that life, right? So we hadn't necessarily arrived at the place where, you know, we don't want to shame you, in the community. We want to put that shame on our family. I think there was some shame in sending you down south, but you know, we've had to grow through that. But that idea of the sanctity of life and how precious that life is and the unwillingness to take, an easy road and just destroy that life in the womb, is something that we've had to exercise and think through and work through, in the community.
Let me pause you there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I want to continue to pick at this because I think we're getting to some of these core differences that will help folks who are passionate about life to be able to understand the conversation and what's going on and hopefully affect change in a more impactful way here in a culture. Hearing from Pastor Chris Butler, Chicago Embassy Church, the AND Campaign, Church Politics Podcast, and this is part of The Answer on AM 560. I'm Dan Erman. We'll be right back.
Turn to Part of the Answer on AM 560 The Answer with your host, Dan Erman.
Welcome back to Part of the Answer here on AM 560. I'm Dan Erman, joined again by Pastor Chris Butler, Chicago Embassy Church, the AND Campaign, the Church Politics Podcast, author of Compassion and Conviction. And we've been talking about the life issue and how you come at this, in, you know, as a Black pastor in the Black community on the South Side of Chicago, and you're seeing the life issue as, you know, part of who you are and what you're about, and yet you just ran as a Democrat, and that cuts against the grain of what we normally think of in politics, and yet we have these divides that are political, some of it racial, some of it's just dividing walls of hostility, and as you kind of have gone through this, you've seen some commonality in the idea of where life begins, and you know, the idea of, you know, what's in the belly, and you talked about that, but there's this dynamic of a larger kind of lexicon within the Black church talking about life. And I want to better understand, how does the Black church approach this? And yet, you know, you have like the political Democrat and, you know, what is that dynamic and what does that look like today?
Yeah. I mean, so there are a lot of disconnects, at least the way I observe it, on this issue, because you have a lot of communities of people who are culturally pro-life. And when I say culturally pro-life, I mean folks who understand that a pregnancy is the presence of a life in the womb of a woman, right? Making her a mother, right? And that just, when I talk about culturally, like, I'm talking about you get pregnant before May and you get a Mother's Day card, right? Not the year when you had the baby, the year that you got pregnant, because we just see you as a mom right there.
Really? No birthing person cards?
We, you know what I'm saying? And we don't use that language. Like, that's not language that grew up like in the black community. It didn't grow up in the black church. And when you use it in the black community, in the black church, it is actually quite foreign. And so those are the places of commonality. But when you start to think about the issues that are very important in the community, issues of poverty, issues of housing and healthcare inequity, income, wealth, and wage inequity, these are issues that are like live topics in the community.
So, and you just hit like the sore spot of all sore spots in conservative worlds, and you flipped in equity instead of equality, which is an antonym to that. Why?
So I think, you know, there is a conversation around equity that's important. You know, I think a lot of folks frame equity only as, you know, equity of outcome at all cost. And I think that's a caricature of the concept of equity. The concept of equity in my equality means it means the same outcome for everybody. In my mind, equity means the same opportunities for everybody. I think we can all get together around that, even if we disagree on if the opportunities are actually the same and how we actually get to the sameness of opportunity. Is that's a live conversation, is one that we need to have.
That's for another show. We're talking about the life issue here.
But when I use the term equity, we're not talking about what I think is a caricature of the term. And I don't think that only people on the right do that caricature. It is, you know, there are people on the left who have that way of thinking, which is the same outcomes at any cost. And I don't think that's really what equity is actually about. I think it's more about fairness. And so, but these issues of fairness and justice, fighting against oppression, like this is what we do. I mean, and sure, if you're uncomfortable with that, then you're uncomfortable with wide swaths of what is happening in black church spaces. And we're going to keep working to come together on these things. But what you got to know about that is that in those spaces, abortion never comes up as a solution on any of those fronts. Right. The concept that getting an abortion is going to lift somebody out of poverty is ridiculous. Getting an abortion is going to make somebody's housing situation better is insane. What actually is going to happen is that over the long term, we are going to diminish the cultural and political and even in some ways spiritual power of our community just because we're cutting down so much on our reproduction. I mean, nowhere is that more evident even than, the post-census difficulties in the city of Chicago over the ward map, right? That's demographics. That's population. So we're playing in on that front. When you talk about trauma, nobody who is honest, and I think a lot of folks in our church spaces are being honest, nobody thinks that that like having an abortion is a solution to trauma, right? Like that is a compounding of trauma, right? And we talk about these things, we know these things, but that connection on the space of justice, this idea that we probably have equal or better shot of making gains across the community on healthcare and housing and wages and political power and all that stuff, if we keep our families intact, if we keep the anatomy of our women's bodies intact, if we celebrate the miracle of life, we have a better or equal chance of doing all those things without abortion. And abortion itself does not improve any of those situations. You don't become less poor because you had an abortion. You don't get a better housing situation because you had an abortion. And so if there is a way for us to begin to cross some of these boundaries of language. I mean, even like I appreciate the question that you asked about equity, right? Because some person sitting in you know, the First Baptist Church in Inglewood, and I probably just called the name of an actual church, but you know what I'm saying? Like, when they use the term social justice, they are not talking about what the Harvard professor who's writing at the publication that you really don't like. They're not talking about the same thing. They're talking about the basic concept that there should be justice in the society, right? Something that we probably agree on. And the point that I was making on the podcast, and hopefully what I'm getting across here, is that there are some language barriers that need to be crossed, where the meaning of the words that are being used in Black church spaces actually mean things very much like stuff that you would very much agree with. And we can't let this movement break down, especially in the state of Illinois, where there's so much work to do to protect life in the womb. We can't let this movement break down over language barriers. And not, especially when we don't have the kind of significant meaning difference that would be substantive.
And there's this impact, too, where the laws in Illinois around abortion are so far to, I wouldn't even consider them left. They're just a progressive ideology that's way out on the extreme. And to the point where I don't think that most Democrats in Illinois know the full extent of what that looks like. Yeah. And that there's, you know, if you fall into that, you know, kind of classical liberal model ideologically, you don't really have a political home in Illinois right now.
Yeah. I think, you know, you're absolutely right. You know, when I talk to people, you know, and I talk to a lot of people, especially on the campaign, but even doing the work with the AND campaign, you talk to so many people who come to you and they're like, you know, I'm pro-choice. You know, woman should have the right to choose whether she's going to have a baby. But you start digging in. Do you really think that a person should be able to get a letter that says that having a baby is going to compromise their mental health and then be able to get an abortion in the 8th month of their pregnancy? People don't agree with that. Do you really think we should have sex elective abortions where somebody's like, I found out the baby's a girl and I wanted a boy, so I'm going to have an abortion? Do you really agree with that? Do you really know that you actually get more health inspections and nail salons in Illinois than you do in abortion clinics? You know, people don't know these things. And when you start asking them about those things, those are the places where people want to close ranks. When you ask somebody, did you know that somebody could take your 13-year-old daughter to get an abortion and that abortionist does not even have to let you know, right? Not get your permission. They don't have to let you know. So your 13-year-old daughter could get an abortion this afternoon and come home tonight and you just never know.
If not trafficked from out of state into Illinois.
Yeah.
We're watching abortion tourism on the rise and all the rest. It's devastating, and it's something where I think we need to quickly work to, as you pointed out to me, to change the law of what we see going on in Illinois. How do we affect change? If you're a Republican in Illinois, you're working from the super minority, you know, in the state. And so we need to find ways to partner in leadership to make way for life and to advocate for life. Pastor Chris Butler, you're a good man. You're doing good work. Practice what you preach, Father of Five, and, and all the rest. But Chris, thank you for having me in and for the work that you're doing for life here in Chicago and Illinois.
Yeah, thank you, Dan, for having me on. I really appreciate everything that you do, and I appreciate your friendship.
Well, if you're not already listening to his podcast, the Church and Politics.
Church Politics.
Church Politics. I recommend giving it a listen. You'll hear issues relevant to faith and to politics and what's going on. Pastor Chris Butler, thanks for joining me today here on AM 560 for Part of the Answer. I'm Dan Erman.
three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.